Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Well, there have been some really positive developments over the past month in the race to find a vaccine to tackle COVID-19. And perhaps for the first time since the pandemic began, there's real hope that soon the era of lockdowns and isolation may come to an end. Well, many Irish scientists are to the fore of the vaccine development, including my next guest, Professor Adrian Hill, who I've had the pleasure of speaking to before on this programme. He's the Dubliner who heads up the Jenner Institute at Oxford University, and he's been centrally involved with AstraZeneca on the Oxford vaccine. Good morning, Adrian. Thanks so much for joining me.
Good morning.
Really interesting results about Oxford. It was announced earlier in the week really positively, but now there are a lot of questions about it. Adrian, what's the current state of play with the Oxford vaccine?
Yeah, so we're very excited. We've had very positive results in the last week. In fact, last Monday, we announced the first interim analysis of our trial data from the UK and Brazil. This is a big phase three trial that's been eagerly anticipated, and the results have been very good. We see that against severe COVID, essentially there were no people who were vaccinated who got severe or hospitalized COVID disease. The efficacy in two different groups varied from 60% to 90% against just clinical disease or fairly mild clinical disease. And we even have some tantalizing evidence that we may well be preventing transmission of the virus. That was really better than we had anticipated to get all three of those endpoints at one go.
Now, in relation to the Oxford vaccine, explain first of all, it's different, isn't it, to the other two vaccines that have been developed?
Oh, very much so. So the other two vaccines that reported a week or two before us were RNA vaccines, a very new technology, not only never licensed for anything, but never really in a phase three trial in large numbers before, whereas we're using this adenoviral vector technology. That's a common cold virus that we cripple so it can't grow, but it can get into cells still. And we put a coronavirus gene, the key spike protein one, into that virus, and then you get a strong immune response both against a coronavirus and against the backbone, if you like, of the adenovirus. So this technology has been around for, 20 or so years in tens of thousands of people for lots of different disease indications and licensed in many countries.
Now, serious questions, I suppose, Adrian, have been asked about the methodology. Explain to us what you did, because you had two trials and that there was a lower dose and then a full dose. Take us through the methodology of your vaccine.
Yeah, so the first thing to say is that everything we've done has been very carefully monitored and reviewed by our regulator in London, the MHRA. And it's not that unusual to have two different trial groups within a trial or really dosing groups. And what we found is that the standard two-dose regime with a standard dose gave us a certain level of efficacy. But if we halved the first dose and gave a full dose second, then we got what appears to be higher efficacy, averaging out at 90%, which is obviously very good. How that came about was partly because we were keen to improve the tolerability of the first dose of the vaccine, because we found with the standard regime, the second dose is fine. The first dose is a little bit more reactogenic, as we say, with more pain at the injection site and more people getting mild fevers. So when we halved the dose, that, not surprisingly, was less of an issue. So the safety profile overall was better. The immune responses, happily, were just as good. And then the surprise, which people have commented on when the efficacy results came out, were that we were seeing what appeared to be higher efficacy, the 90% in that group. And it's not a total surprise. There are lots of ways that might come about that are being investigated at the moment. But, the idea that it's somehow wrong or a mistake to have two different dosing regimes in a clinical trial is just not correct. Most of our clinical trials, we look at different doses.
It wasn't a mistake, therefore, that the different dosages were given.
not at all a mistake. What we do is we look at a different doses fairly routinely, particularly with a new vaccine like this one that only went into the clinic at the end of April. We did have to, you know, check different measures of concentration and so on, but all of that was discussed with regulators, and you know, they fully approved exactly what we were doing. But I think what people have had a difficulty getting their head around is doing two different regimes with populations in different countries and different ethnicities. But actually, that's what the regulators want for this sort of vaccine that will hopefully be used globally. So having data initially from the UK and from Brazil is great, but there's also a trial going on in South Africa. There's a very large US trial up and running and going well with over 10,000 people enrolled. There'll be another 20 or 30,000 and other trials in Asia. But, you know, coming back to what you were saying about the different dosing regimes, seeing the better efficacy with this lower first dose, we're now looking very seriously at changing the design of the US trial. So that has this more promising group in that as well. And AstraZeneca have announced that.
And what about other questions, Adrian, being raised about that one of the dosages was only tried on under 55s? And is that another question mark over it?
It's absolutely true. And it's not a question mark at all. Most of our vaccinees are between 18 and 55 years of age. I think you'll find that's true in every trial that's going on, because you're not allowed to go to over 70-year-olds until you have good safety data in the 18 to 55-year-olds. But of course, we do have older groups, 55 to 70 and 70 and above. Nothing original about it. Every trial starts with larger numbers of young people, and then age escalates into the elderly.
You sound very confident that the vaccine's efficacy, that it will hold up under additional testing, and that you are confident in the reliability of the results.
Well, more than that, we're not waiting for any further testing. We are submitting these data to regulators in London for UK licensure, to the European Medicines Agency for licensure for most of Europe, including Ireland. And we have hit the requirement for efficacy, which is above 50%. We're well above that. So, you know, we would expect to hopefully have emergency use approval before Christmas. So, yes, there will be other trials for America. They like to have data from the US itself, and that will be ongoing. But, you know, we anticipate that this vaccine not only will be licensed in the coming month, but start to be used.
So what would you say to some people suggesting at the moment that maybe your vaccine needs to go to another full global trial?
You don't sort of make up a trial protocol and then do it and then go to the regulators and ask if it's okay. This whole thing has been 6 to 9 months of continuous interaction with regulators, not just on the trial design, but on the trial groups, on the use of different vaccine batches, on the analysis plan, and on the reporting plan. And all of that has been agreed by very stringent regulatory authorities, including the two I've just mentioned, and agreed with them. So, you know, we're not worried that they'll disapprove it, because they've already said what we're doing is fine from their point of view. And of course, the regulator's opinion is what matters.
So you don't believe there'll be a delay in the planned rollout, because people have been so excited about it. And I know it's been pre-bought, hasn't it, by many different health systems right across the world.
Over 3 billion doses, yes. No, we don't anticipate that. And I think there's a, you know, a lot of commentary on trial design from people who are not as familiar as they might be with how trials actually happen.
I love, can I just say this, your calmness. I know you're the boy from Ranelagh who's become one of the world's leading vaccinologists. But just before I interviewed you this morning, I was thinking it must be quite a stressful time, because, you know, it's a roller coaster of emotions. And then I was thinking, you're a scientist. So you park the emotion, don't you, and deal with the science.
Well, I don't think there is much emotion here, actually, except delight that the results are so good. And of course, there was such a burst of positivity in the media early last week. We're not surprised that some naysayers have come in with their own view. But, you know, the view that matters is the expert view of the regulatory authorities. And the truth is This is a very safe vaccine that can be manufactured at a scale that no other vaccine is trying to reach, and is impressively effective. So we're looking forward to getting on with this and making it available as soon as we can.
And do you think actually one of the benefits of this awful pandemic could be that we'll have a whole new generation to work in the area you work in, that they'll be interested in it and excited at the thought of it?
Well, what I'd like to think is that, you know, there'll be more emphasis on scientific training broadly, you know, from primary to secondary schools to universities, and particularly that we'll end up with more politicians with a scientific background. You know, the UK is not exactly a showpiece for having lots of scientists in Parliament, and we're not alone here in that. So, yeah, you know, it's a rigorous discipline, scientific research. The truth always wins out. So you've got to be sure that what you're doing is right, and it's not a bad training for life, even if you end up doing something totally different after that.
Final question, a big question to end with, Professor Hill. When do you think we will all be vaccinated and able to resume something approaching normality again?
I think the second question is easier. Something approaching normality will be hopefully late spring, early summer. It'll happen gradually, of course. I don't think we'll ever vaccinate the whole population with anything, because people should be free to decide whether they have a vaccine or not. But I think we'll all be a bit surprised by the number of people who do want to be vaccinated once this vaccine is widely available. And we've kind of taken that into account in estimating what number of doses we will need. And that number is very large.
Well, Professor Adrian Hill, congratulations on your tremendous work. Thanks so much for joining me once again this morning, and take care of yourself.
Great to talk.